Good morning. How's everyone? My name is Dawn. I'm an addict. I'm from the D.C. area. First of all, I would like to thank the... Good morning. I'm very excited. This is my first time, so I'm a little nervous. First time doing a workshop. My name is Dawn. I'm an addict. I'm from the D.C. area. I would like to thank the Montgomery County area for asking me to be here. I am very grateful. My clean date is January the 2nd, 2004. God's grace and mercy. I have 4,858 days clean. My story is pain. I started using at a young age. I think I was about 10 years old. I had an uncle who started me using. I remember I used to go to my aunt's and uncle's house every weekend, and he would have bags of weed. I couldn't wait till the weekend to go over there. I grew up, and I was raised by my mother and my grandmother. My grandmother was a great person. She really provided for me. She gave me the best life that I could ask for. We lived in Northeast over by Taft Playground. We had opportunities where we had vacations. We went on picnics. My grandmother always cooked for us. She made the best fried chicken, potato salad. We went on family reunions. We went to Virginia Beach. We went to the beaches. I never forget, my grandmother took us to Sandy Point Beach. And it must have been about 20 people in the car, because all our neighbors and everybody would love to go everywhere with us. And a trooper stopped us, and she said, "I'm just trying to take my family to the beach." And he let us keep going on. This might keep going on. And my mother lived with us too, and I love my mother. She did the best she could with me. My mother was a party girl. She used to always like to have fun. She
just keep going.
Push what button? She did. She she was funny. My mother was a tough person, and she taught me how to be tough. We were I came from an athletic family. We grew up playing sports. I just talk. Okay. I'm an athlete. I grew up playing sports all my life. I mainly ran track and played basketball, and I did it through elementary school, junior high school, and I was a pretty good athlete. I was a great athlete. Through playing sports, I received a college scholarship, and I'm a graduate from Howard University. And also, during my times through playing sports, I had some coaches that were almost like father figures for me, who wanted the best for me and instilled some great values for me. I wasn't raised by my father. I don't know who my father is. I never met him or anything of that nature. I was just happy that I had, those guys, those coaches in my life, and I trusted them, and, they protected me. All this happened, through playing sports, I started using, and, I thought it was fun, mainly because, my family and my friends, and I was a functioning addict. I made good grades in school. After I graduated, I had got a job on Capitol Hill, and, I was working, and it started, everything was working out fine, I was being productive and everything, and then when I got in college, I met this guy after I graduated, and we got in this relationship, and I fell in love with him, and they say always remember your bottom of your story. And my bottom of my story was using crack cocaine. I really didn't think I had a problem because I had a job and I had some things. And through this relationship, I kind of lost a lot of my values and lost myself because I made this guy my God. And it was very painful. That's why I say that, you know, pain is part of my story. And this went on for years, and I was the type of person that I stuffed a lot of stuff because I had this image through playing, being an athlete, that I was tough and I could take on stuff and I didn't need no help. And also, by me, you know, being an intelligent person, I could always think myself out of everything that I was doing. And a lot of times, you know, I thought I wasn't hurting anyone, but I was hurting myself. And I've learned this since I've been in Narcotics Anonymous. And my my grandmother, who was just so wonderful for me, she used to tell me, you know, you're going to have a heart attack. And I didn't know nothing about that until I read the literature here that it talks about having a heart attack. And I can continue to go down this path of degradation and just, you know, not thinking that I was worthy of anything. And I just continued to use and continued to use. And when I was working on Capitol Hill at one time, they saw something in me, and I didn't really see anything in myself. And I remember telling them, calling to work, sick a lot, and not going to work. And when you're sick and you're not at work, you should be home. And I remember this office manager called my house one time, and I wasn't at home, and I had called in sick. So they called in for me to come and talk to them, right? So I went to work, and I went and talked to them. And I actually sat down, and I told these people that I was smoking crack cocaine. That was the dumbest thing I could have done. So what they tried to do, they wanted to change my health insurance so that I could get some help. But I told them I didn't need any help. I could stop when I wanted to stop. But mind you, I couldn't stop. I was caught up in the grip. I was doing everything that man asked me to do. When I was getting paid, I was spending all my money. I'd get paid one day, and then the next day I had no money. Then I would go home to my grandmother, and she'd be like, "Where my money?" My grandmother really didn't charge me anything, but she wanted to show me how to be responsible. My grandmother would wake me up. And my grandmother, she was so sweet. She did so many things, but when she talked to you and the words that she used to use, you'd be like, "Oh my God, I need to really get myself together." But I just continued to, you know, keep using. And what happened was I had got this job. You know, I always kept a job. They said I was an addict to keep a job as a successful addict. I heard that last night. I still can't get in touch with that. So I was at this job, right? And I was working, and I always start off good, right? And, you know, this job, you had to be very productive, and I kind of, like, started slipping and not coming to work and making all kind of excuses and, you know, telling lies. You know, we addicts, we lie. And this person didn't know what was going on with me. She thought I had some mental problems. She didn't know what it was. So When I go to work, I would see this young lady, and, you know, I was kind of like amazed at the way she carried herself and how she looked. You know, I wanted to emulate that because I didn't feel good on the inside, or I didn't felt good on the outside. So she told me she was going to put me on this PIP program, you know, and she saved my life. If it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't be here. I might be dead. And she told me if I didn't get myself together that, you know, I could get fired. And mind you, at this point, my grandmother had passed away. And she was my enabler. She was the only person that I could go to get something. Because my mother, you know, she was an alcoholic, but she was a great person, and I loved her so much. And my mother, she wouldn't give me a dime because she hated drugs, you know. We bumped heads because I was like, how can you tell me not to use when you're drinking? You know? So at this point, I knew about this program that we had in the federal government. It was an employee assistance program. I knew about that program because, you know, I really wanted to do something about my using. And I would get to that door
and just couldn't go through that door. And I had a God, but the God that I had, I was just like, why are you taking me through all this? You know, I was blaming everything on God. So when she told me that, you know, they say always remember your story. And my story, my bottom was Easter Monday. It was an African-American tradition. We used to always go to the zoo. So me and my family, we were at the zoo. And I was with my sister. And I remember being intoxicated. And I blacked out that night. And I remember what this young lady told me, that if I didn't get myself together, I was going to get fired. So what I did for myself, I called that number. And I told them I needed some help. And I wanted to get my life together. And this was a turning point for me. I went to treatment. Thank God for treatment. And I went there, and I learned some things. But I wasn't sure about what I wanted to do. I just know that I didn't want this pain anymore. Because when I was using and when I was with my friend, all we did was argue, fuss, and fight. And my family really, and a lot of people didn't really like for us coming around because they always thought that we used to, you know, would come there and just mess up whatever was going on. So after I went to treatment and I went back to work, a lot of people was kind of fishy and wanted to know what was going on with me and where I had been. And I just told them I was sick. So I sat down and I talked to this young lady. And I told her where I had been and what was going on. And she told me she wanted me to come to her office and sit down and talk to her. And I sat down and I talked to her. And I told her where I had been. And she told me, and I'll never forget this, and I hold it dear to my heart. She told me that she was a member of Narcotics Anonymous. And that if I wanted to stay clean, that I could. And that she would be there for me. And I really appreciated that. So I continued to go on in this program. And I knew about Narcotics Anonymous because I used to go to some of the meetings with some of the guys in my neighborhood. We would use to go to some of the meetings. So I really didn't think that I needed this program or that I belonged. So I went to that meeting where I knew it was. And I went there and I learned from the treatment. They said, go up in the front and tell them that you knew and that you just need some help. And I did that. Because I always had in the back of my mind some of the things that my grandmother taught me about being a young lady, taking care of yourself, and doing the best you could do. And when I went to that meeting, they told me to go early. So I went early, and I met this guy. And I love him so much, James T. When I went there, he had his head all up in his hair all straight up. Looked like Don King. He was asking me all these questions, and I was like, he looked creepy, freaky looking. I didn't want to hug him. I didn't want to ask none of the questions. But, you know, he told me, he was like, you know, fixing up the room and doing things and asked me to help out, and I helped out. And I continued to go there early every day. And so I guess the person who was the coffee person didn't show up. And he asked me if I wanted to be the coffee person. And I said yes. And then I started being the coffee person. And thank God for service work, because I know now that, you know, that's what kept me here. So, you know, I continued on that path, you know, being in that home group. And that's still my home group. And thank God for that. So that's why I'm here. And I continue to be in this relationship. And the topic is loneliness, where is God in the mix? Being in this relationship has been so painful for me. I'm in the relationship, out the relationship. In the relationship, out the relationship. In the relationship, guy got involved with another young lady. The young lady got pregnant, had a child. Still in the relationship, out of relationship. He got married. They got married. In a relationship, out of relationship. But I was the type of person that, you know, I did take care of myself. You know, I tried to, you know, fight it off, stay away from them, and, you know, do what I had to do. But at that point, I didn't really have no program. And it was terrible. In the relationship, out of the relationship. I had an uncle that was in the NFL, and he was away a lot. But, you know, he used to always, you know, talk to us and tell us stuff, mainly about, I remember one time he was talking about angel dust or something. And I was like, I'm already past that. You know, but he never really, during my, you know, growing up, nobody really sat down with me intimately and really, really asked me, you know, about drugs or anything. I remember when I was at Howard University, I was playing basketball, and we had the athletic director sit down with us, you know, and tell us a lot about drugs and a lot about things, but never nobody, out of all the coaches I had, you know, ever really wanted to sit down with me and really, really find out what was going on with me. And I always felt like I was kind of like left out a lot because my independence and my natural talent ability that, you know, they really didn't kind of like had to do a lot with me that some of the other young ladies and some of my other team members got, you know, more attention. And anyway, I continued, you know, down this path with being in this relationship. And I forgot to tell y'all that I came from a large family, you know, a lot of sisters and brothers. And, you know, we had a great time growing up. But I had older sisters. It was really tough. I remember when I would be out getting a fight and come home crying and stuff, and they ain't had that. You know, they would send me back out and tell me I had to fight some more. And I ain't like doing that. I really not a violent person, you know, and I ain't like a whole lot of fighting. But, you know, down this path, you know, thank God for sponsorship. And what I did was, you know, read Living Clean. So if you haven't got this book, this is a great book. You know, I read a lot about in here about relationships, you know, in relationship with my sponsor. I love her dearly. She has raised me up in this program. I thought I knew a lot about being a woman. Since I've been here, I have gotten so much help, you know, through doing the step work, and we have gotten close. I've gotten better about really being honest with her and letting her know what's going on with me. I think I kind of burned her out with all this relationship stuff. You know, calling her up, crying, letting her know, you know, the man that left me again. And, you know, I would tell her stuff, and she'd be like, but you know what happened the last time? You know, I got to a point where I started getting better with dealing with it, but still doing the same thing, expecting different results. So I haven't really had, you know, to go to her much about this relationship stuff. I've, you know, and she said, you know, get a network, find some other people to talk to. So I've been kind of like throwing it at some other people. I got 5 minutes. But loneliness, where's God in the mix? I had to look up the, I looked it up. They always say, you know, look it up. So loneliness is feeling, you know, isolation and depression, right? So what I do, you know, the third step, they talk about God. I got a God of my understanding. I have gotten very close with God. And, you know, I turn my will over just like today. You know, I came here to share and, you know, I had to get out of the way, and I've learned that through recovery. I had to get out of the way. And so that's helped me so much. I'm spiritually refreshed and glad to be alive. Now, they talked about the 10th step, you know, doing the inventory. I have to find out what part I play because that's the only thing to help me to find out some of my character defects. And some of my character defects is fear. I've had fear so much about, you know, coming up here to share because I didn't really think that I have anything that I could, you know, offer to you to anyone. But I know today that I'm a very confident person. I'm a game changer, right? I got a lot of hope. I have hope that if it's anybody here new for the newcomer, you know, you just have to hold on. You have to get a God of your understanding. You know, service work. I'm on the DC area of H&I subcommittee. I go into facilities and share my experience, strength, and hope and let them know that no matter what, you don't have to use. And what I do as far as, you know, loneliness, where's God in the mix, I continue to pray and go to God And I kind of like do a lot of things by myself. I have a big God and a small circle. You know, I love going to the, I support people with no strings attached. I love going to the D.C. area events. You know, I go to the dances. I never forget when I was on the special events, we had a prom for a lot of the people who didn't get a chance to go to their high school prom. And I've been having a ball since I've been here. You know, things are getting so much better. I'm getting a lot of more confidence in myself that, you know, I don't have to go through some of the things that I go through. But if there's anybody here that's feeling kind of lonely, it's okay just to sit for a minute. You know, I just recommend that you probably, you know, get in some service work, get outside of yourself, because that's what's been helping for me. You know, help a newcomer, help somebody, right? So if no one told you today that they love you, I love you. I want to thank everybody for being here. My name is Donna, and I'm going to keep coming back. Yeah.